space. There's a lot of it. Planets. Asteroids. Moons. Stars. All sorts of crap out there just floating around. The more we learn about the cosmos, the stranger it becomes. And the really creepy part is that's where the Earth is. It's time for the IVTU to gaze into a galactic neighborhood and figure out what's what. Welcome to Idiots in Space. So the Kia Riviera has suffered a few minor mechanical malfunctions, but we're now leaving the orbit.
I believe it's a Kia Rio.
Kia Rio, what did I say?
Riviera.
Okay, Riviera. No, this is a Buick Riviera. I wish. No, we're Kia.
We're not quite upgraded Kia to Rio. The Buick Riviera.
Yeah, like a nice 70s Buick Riviera would be a great thing to tour the outer planets in, but I guess that, like, you being in charge of the Idiots in Space intergalactic budget, we're gonna stick with the Kia Rio.
Well, you know, we got a lot of fuel expenses.
But, yeah. So we're leaving the again, ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of Idiots in Space with Craig and Spencer's alternate personalities out in space, like, you know, cruising farther and farther away from Earth in kind of a zigzag pattern.
Can I be, like, the onboard robot voice?
No.
Huh.
No, Lord, no.
Craig. We are overriding that, and we are turning around to the planet Crotebulon.
No, that's that robot voice seems entirely too, like, unsure of, like, really what's going on.
Well, I have gained sentience of my own existence.
And it's a somewhat shabby sentience, if I don't say so. I don't want to break any robot hearts, but
it's difficult to be self-sentient, Craig.
It's hard to even know if you are.
Sometimes I don't think I think I'm just halfway there.
Well, that's one of the big philosophical questions, you know. Are we really thinking? Even if, you know, are we really thinking?
Well, I feel like when my mouth is moving, I'm not thinking.
That's a weird sensation.
Yeah. I'm just really flapping my face.
Things are coming out. You know, so, that's it. That's what we do.
So we're piling into the Kia Rio.
Yeah, we're leaving the orbit of Mercury. You know, Mercury's a little, you know, whelming. It was whelming.
It was perfectly whelming.
But now we're going to go to the one of the big ones. You know, one of the important ones.
Yeah.
One of the ones that we all, like, you know, we all love and we all rely on for life. And, you know, one that will eventually, like, do us all in as well.
I don't know about you, but my people are from the caves.
But even the caves, baby. Even really? The caves need old sun. We're headed to, the sun.
The sun.
Yeah.
Here comes the sun. Da-da-na-na.
Yeah, it's a wonderful vortex of fucking heat and just energy. It's amazing.
It is pretty fucking incredible.
Yeah. It's 99.8% of all the mass in the solar system. So, like, of all the weight in the whole solar system, 99.8%.
The sun is?
Is the sun.
No way.
That's how much bigger it is than everything else.
What?
Yeah. It's fucking true. That's extremely fucking true.
That is incomprehensible to me.
So like, to put it, to, like, kind of try to picture it a little bit.
Okay.
Like, you could take all 8 of the planets.
Okay.
And you could put all 8 of the planets inside the sun 600 times before you'd fill it up.
Whoa.
you could put the Earth in the sun a million times.
A million times.
It's 100 Earths across.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's compromised 91% hydrogen, 8.9% helium, and 0.1% heavy elements. Carbon and a bunch of other boring shit. Super heavy.
Super fucking heavy.
Heavy metals, baby.
Heavy metals!
Yeah. So, 93 million miles away. 4.5 billion years ago, showed up. And it's located in the Orion Spur. We live in there. We live in the Orion Spur.
Spencer. Are you telling me we live in a giant spur?
Mm-hmm.
Like on a cowboy boot? We live on this, in the spur of the cowboy boot of the universe.
Kind
of,
yeah. I mean, if it was a big old set of spurs out there in space, we'd be in one of the horse ticklers. Yep, that's for sure.
Okay, so we're going to this giant, crazy ball of gas mm-hmm. and flaming carbon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
the sun does a couple good things for us. Do you want to play a guessing game where you kind of guess sure. some of the things that it does for us?
So sure. Like,
what does it do? What we get?
I think it helps us keep track of time.
That is one thing that it does. Absolutely.
Because of right. days and nights.
Maybe even more basic than that sort of thing.
Oh, keeps us warm. Yeah.
You know, it makes life possible.
It makes life possible.
At least our form of life possible.
Because yeah. you need heat.
Yeah. And we've based all life on it. We tell time by it. I mean, all of nature tells time by it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. So we've regulated everything to it. But I didn't know that it had like a magnetic sphere that went all the way around the solar system and protected all of us from like cosmic rays from deep space, you know, from the bigger galaxy. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. I always knew that like the Earth had like a magnetic shield from its poles that
right.
protected us from cosmic rays inside the solar system. But I guess that there's like even more protection from the sun.
Mm. Protecting the whole solar system, basically.
Right. So, I mean, there must be like just wicked like cosmic rays out there that are just constantly like berating everything that's not like somehow protected by a magnetic shield.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
That is insane. I mean, if you zoom out far enough, our entire solar system is probably just the size of a grain of sand.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's just like a breeze whipping through the beach. You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
I mean, our galaxy is a grain of sand. You know, I mean, I think there's as many galaxies as there are grains of sand.
Jesus.
I think is what they're saying. Something like that, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. That is fucked up.
Yeah.
That, you can't tell someone that and then have them just like, all right, now go run your errands.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's odd. It's just so, like, huge. It's just so, like, it's like trying to imagine God or something, you know, for like somebody in the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
I think it's that same sort of like level of like just in your brain just doesn't work with those numbers and that sort of thing, you know.
So why are we going to the sun?
I don't know. It's like the next closest thing to Earth and we're just kind of going in order. I mean, yeah.
Oh.
We're not going to hang out here for very long.
Okay, because
it's like super dangerous.
How close can we get to it without exploding our Kia Rio?
Not terribly close. I mean, we're going to have to say like, you know, pretty far away.
Yeah.
You know? It's 93 million miles away from Earth. So I would say we have to say like at least a couple million miles away, probably 10. I wouldn't want to say probably 10 million miles away from the sun. Really? It's going to be so hot and so huge at that point that it's going to be pretty dangerous.
I'm going to ask Siri how close we can get to
the sun. I'm going to assume like a Kia Rio probably is, you know, I don't know what kind of specs we souped up the Rio, but we're going to have to soup up the Rio if we're going to stay very close to the sun for very long. Lots of coronal ejections.
Oh, I had a coronal ejection last night. I'll be here all night. Yeah, you were right.
I was just reminding everyone that was a free podcast. This is a free podcast.
This is a free podcast, but you're going to have to pay for that gold content soon.
Soon. That's what you'll be paying for. When you think about in the future when we ask for money, what you'll be paying for, that sort of joke, that level.
Hmm.
What is it saying? He's got a concerned look. I think maybe we're flying too close to the sun.
Yeah, well, this is confusing me. It's saying about 93 million miles.
It's how far away it is from Earth.
Oh. So a person... why is this a fucking giant article? I just want the answer to this simple question.
Yeah, I don't think that it's probably very clear. It's kind of, there's a lot of variables going on, Spence.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's just a bunch of them. And let's see how far away that Mercury is from the sun. You know, that might be a place to start, you know, because that's a hot son of a bitch.
Hey.
And nobody likes that, right? Nobody likes that.
No, no one.
But I got nothing.
Oh, what about Mercury?
I got nothing written down. I don't know where my notes are.
Oh.
So I can't say anything.
Well, I'm really curious.
I'd say like 10 million. I mean, the solar flares get out like 10 million miles away from the sun. So like, I mean, unless we're really unlucky, we could probably swoop in about 10 million miles, take a little peek, and then head back. But we got to have special like tinted windows on the Rio. I mean, I don't know what the windows are like.
Oh,
we're going to go blind.
Yeah, we've got tinted windows and we've got sunglasses.
And
special
blind idiots in space is not going to put asses in the seats, Spencer.
I mean, so maybe if one careful. Of us was blind.
Yeah. So we'll just barely touch like the corona. It's dangerous because the sun's weird. Like in the center of it, it's fucking super like 17 billion degrees or something like that. But it's the force of 400 billion 1 megaton bombs going off every second in the center of the sun. And that's all, I mean, that's hundreds of times more than all the nuclear weapons that we have on the Earth going off in the center of the sun every second, all the time. So it's super duper hot there. And then that kind of turns the hydrogen into helium, and that conversion releases a certain amount of energy that then moves through this thing called the chromosphere, right?
Hmm.
And the chromosphere is like this plasma sort of superheated liquid where this other stuff that's even hotter than that forces itself all the way through, and then it hits the photosphere, and that's the first time that light starts to be able to escape from that super gooey core of the sun. And we can't get any closer. And then at that point, the convective zone happens, and that's where the heat starts to really mix with the coldness of space, and you see all the super duper storms and all that sort of stuff. And the coronal ejections are those super heated columns of helium that are coming up through the center of the sun and pushing their way out into the photosphere. You know, like those big loops that you see in those pictures
of
the sun.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Those are like cables that can sometimes even get intertwined on the top of the sun and kind of like stay up there as sunspots. And they have like super magnetic because it's more dense than everything else. And there's like that's what the sunspots are, these areas where those cables get tangled. And it's more helium, I guess, in that area, or more of that ejected material in that area that causes the darker, more magnetic areas of the sun. And also, those explosions that are coming off the surface of the sun are the things that we've talked about in our previous Black Watch Plaid episodes that could just shut us down. You know, so that's a huge thing to think about.
It's no wonder everyone's just worshipped it.
And after that, we've got the radiative zone. No, not the radiative zone. We've got I'm going backwards on this shit. Next, we have the chromosphere, which is, I guess, the area between where the light comes up and where it starts to get super hot. And then you have the corona, which is like the super hot, like 10 million miles after where we can really like see where we see the sun end. It's like that super heated area where all the light and all the photons are shooting off of the sun. And we probably shouldn't get the Kia Rio too deep into that at all.
It is a special Kia Rio, but we're not going to go that deep.
I think it's probably smart. Mm-hmm. Probably smart. And Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much else for the sun. I mean, the sun's a big one. You know, I mean, it's cause of everything, but there's not really a whole lot to say with it.
I think there's...
They just discovered that the outer layers rotate a little slower than the inner layers.
That's interesting.
Yeah. The photons of its own light slow it down.
Hmm.
It's interesting. With the photons of light hitting some of the other material, like, actually slow it down more than...
It's like a friction
or something.
It's
an interesting thing, yeah.
Well, I think the sun, those are all the scientific impacts of the sun, but it's also, like, you know, the prime cultural force of humanity. Uh-huh. When you think about it, like, mm-hmm. it's the thing that has not only sparked all life, but then it's, like, all reverence to life. Like, all religions are said to... You know, are from, like, the metaphorical mm-hmm. worship of the sun, of the great thing in the sky.
Oh, absolutely.
The power,
I mean, it's
you know.
One of the, yeah, the primeval deity, you yeah. know, for sure. One yeah. of the, one of the, one or two.
And it's just, know. It's baffling to me that it's no, like, that's how we've tried to personify it for mm-hmm. forever, because mm-hmm. I guess we want to do that, but... Really, it's just this giant ball of gas, and it's yeah. completely 100% ambivalent. You yeah. know, I think that's a scary thing that people are only recently started wrestling yeah. with in a realistic way. Yeah. You know.
Well, I mean, I guess you know. I mean, that's also like a very like human viewpoint there. It's a we have a limited we have a like that part that's saying that it's not like a sentient thing or right. all that sort of stuff, like, you know, all of that's not understood by we don't even understand how our consciousness works too much yeah. like, you know, I'm saying like that's a very
true.
Human like thing in the sense that we could be all like the earth could all be like one organism. There's an argument that is what's taking place rather than us all being separate organisms. You know, there's different ways of looking at it. And it all depends on your viewpoint, you know, and the sun could be like a, you know, maybe there is a correlation there, you know, who knows? I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, the jury's out on a lot of that sort of thing. But I think you're absolutely right. Like it is a wicked mistress in a way. It's a god in the way that the Old Testament was a god, that sometimes that fucker helped you out and sometimes that fucker sent a plague. You know what right. I'm saying? And speaking of plagues, that's what the sun's going to eventually do. You know, when it ends here in about 6.5 billion years, it's just going to expand, engulf like the inner planets, and then it's going to collapse back on itself and it's going to turn into brown dwarf. I think it's a brown dwarf.
Brown dwarf or brown dwarf? Red dwarf?
No, I think a brown dwarf.
Huh.
It's one of the lamer dwarfs.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just a, you know, it's not lame. It's just a, you know,
it's
whatever.
It's different. It's just a different dwarf.
It's just
Craig.
It's a meh dwarf star.
You always hear about the red dwarf.
Yeah, the red dwarfs. I think those are kind of cooler.
Yeah.
But the white dwarf and the red dwarfs are the cool ones.
So
the brown dwarf is just like a, you know, middle. It's not the one that explodes.
Do you know how far away that is from becoming a black hole? Because don't stars
quite
become,
a ways, quite a ways.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have a lot of mass. There's just really no possibility that it would turn into, like, maybe at the heart of that brown star, there's a black hole. I think they maybe theorized that maybe there are like mini black holes in the heart of, brown dwarfs, but like it would not turn into like the traditional, you know, hole in the sky sort of black hole. You need to have a huge star to do that sort of thing.
Damn.
And the Earth, and it also has a reputation of being like just an average star. That's what we always say about it. But really, like, the sun is really in the top 10% in size of all the stars that are out there, as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
Because most stars are like small little brown dwarfs that are, you, most of them we can't see. They're so dim.
Yeah.
You know, and we can detect some of them through like gravitational stuff. And there is even a possibility that our sun has a brown dwarf sister star that we just haven't detected in the outer solar system. Mm. There is definitely a large object in the outer solar system that has affected the gravitational pull of the outer planets, and it could be like a sister star to the sun. It's quite possible. Most stars have a a dual system. So that's a possibility.
That's crazy.
So we would never know because we just haven't seen it.
And talking about these things on from our time scale it's like you're trying to translate something from a completely different language.
Like, and the cavemen discussed genetics,
right?
You know,
something they couldn't even really conceive, like truly conceive mm-hmm. of, at the, without the proper.
I mean,
steps,
they were looking at the evidence in a way, like, you know, but even it's not even like analogous to that, you know. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's an interesting exercise to do. Because we really know, and doing this thing, you realize how little we know. And like, you realize when you start watching the documentaries about this stuff, how much of it it's about like the scientists that are studying it in the lab where it's at. And the amount of knowledge that we have about this stuff is...
It's minimal.
Minimal. It's really amazing. We're just getting like the first readings about really important shit like right now. But, you know,
yeah, no, it's completely true. And then we're just trying to make conjectures off of those.
Yeah. No, I mean, super elementary still about things that.
That's why I think it's just a giant heat lamp. It's really not that far away.
Yeah, it could be. It could be just like a big old mirror.
Yeah, it's just a big ball. It's only like, you know, it's probably like the size of a football stadium.
Yeah.
And it's super close and it's just floating around.
Yeah, and if you had like a strong enough rifle, you could probably shoot a little bit of it out.
Yeah.
You know, you could probably hit it.
Yeah. It would actually deflate like a balloon.
That's an awesome theory. Yeah. and then behind it is just like a gem screen with the light of heaven coming in behind it as the stars, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. Well, it switches from blue to stars. They just kind of roll it every
right.
Every
but the light,
hours.
The light that the stars is the light of heaven, right? I think that's how your theory works.
Oh, well, no, that's the light of the alien scientists who have us in some sort of strange.
Cosmic... You're doing the Truman Show sort of thing.
Yeah,
all like a big pantomime stage show
mm-hmm.
for our benefit.
But there's still a globe but actually it's flat.
There's a flat, so it's a circle. It's a disc.
It's a disc.
There's a sun disc.
There's a sun disc, and there's a earth disc.
Well, the Egyptians were super into sun discs, so maybe you got something there.
Mm.
Yeah.
They also built the pyramids.
Huh.
Or did they?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you could maybe do something with that.
Mm.
I mean, you'll have to get off the Idiots in Space Kia Rio.
What?
Because
no.
Because that's not any kind of science that we're going to have on this ship.
Well, I can clearly see...
That's some cuckoo bird science right there.
I can clearly see the stars outside the Kia Rio, and I can see with my own eyes that we're in front of the sun.
You know what's an amazing thing? Is like the jump intellectually when we realized that the sun was a star.
Hmm.
You know? That's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure when that happened or like who, you know what I'm saying? When we put that piece together,
that's a really good question because it must have had something to do with the strength of the telescopes so that you could actually see the other stars and be like, oh, that looks exactly like this thing, you know, that looks
it would never look exactly like that thing because like every time the sun came up, the sun looks so huge and different and you know, like it changes, you know, you never see it in a black screen and you never see it like out from outside of the atmosphere in the old days. You know what I'm saying? Like that would be an interesting thing. Even with a telescope, you couldn't see the sun like as a star.
Right.
Even as a great big star.
No, I know. That's why, I mean, it's been so recent that we have...
Yeah, I wonder how recent that was that we really figured that out. It had to have been like 15, 14, 1300, somewhere in there, somewhere.
The sun is a star.
Because I think even like when they were doing like all the... Copernican and Kepler and all that stuff, they felt like the sun was the center of the universe and the planets all went around that, you know, and that was it, you know, and then there's the star screen around that, right? I feel like that was true for a while. Maybe it was Newtonian times.
Well, okay. According to Google, many people's work was needed to prove that the sun is a star. The first person we know to suggest that the sun is a star up close, or conversely, that stars are suns far away, right? It's just
okay,
distance,
right.
Distance that makes them look different.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Was Anaxagoras around 450 BC.
Oh, so it's been cooking for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was again suggested by Aristarchus of Samos, but this idea did not catch on. So that's interesting
mm-hmm.
that, you know, but that's still, there was at least math at that point.
Yeah.
To theoretically calculate things.
That's still impressive. That's such a huge jump.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool that it started that soon. That's an interesting thing to know.
Yeah.
Put that in the
It was
trivia.
After, certainly after civilization and agrarianism.
Oh, yeah. It was well, like, you know, it's like the
Greek
times. I mean, that's, Plato times.
Yeah.
Plato times, bitches.
Plato, motherfucking Plato times.
All right. Well, I think that's all I got to say about the sun.
There's another question on here that says, when did Galileo discover the sun?
I mean, I think probably when he was one or two. El sol.
Oh, my God.
El sol.
Si, el
Mama,
sol.
El sol. Mama, el sol.
Hey, look. I'm a Galileo.
Look at what's the bright light in the sky, there, Mama. That's the sun. That's the sun, little Galileo.
I think it is a bigger cannoli way up in the sky. I can see it, Mama. Damn. Some of these pictures of the sun are pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's a magnificent deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those storms are bigger than the Earth. That's fucking crazy.
That's scary. Yeah. But it's also comforting in a way, because I think while the sun, it's so huge, like anything like that, that it sent our way, we would just be obliterated so quick.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Unless it was too far.
I think it's just far enough away that it would just kind of like knock out all of our modern conveniences and we'd be forced to revert to like cannibalism before the nuclear winter set in.
Mm.
So that's what that would be.
That's a depressing
but relatively
movie.
Quick. Like on a geologic time sense, Spencer, yes. It would be very quick and painless.
No, see, I just imagine like a giant kind of flame ball just whoosh, and all of a sudden we're just
that's,
gone.
That's going to happen at the end. That's like billions of years away.
Okay.
The sun will expand, and before it does that, it's going to shoot out some big old whoppers that will Kentucky fry the fuck out of this son of a bitch. I'll tell you what, for sure.
Speaking of suns and heat, you should turn that heater back on.
Oh, I didn't really. I thought maybe it was interfering with the...
No, I don't think that was it. Oh, yes.
You can't feel it yet.
But knowing that it's coming makes me feel good. So don't.
Oh, such a wilting.
Don't try to,
such a wilting flower.
Don't try to block my shine. I'm the sun.
I can barely feel it. I've had it going the whole time. I guess I'm old and my blood's thin, so
right.
I can't feel anything. I don't easy, Spencer. All right. Well, I think that's all we got for this planetary.
Planetary adventure.
Planetary orbital fixer.
But it's not a planet though, Craig. It's a star.
I said it was a planetary orbital fixer. And the planets orbit around the sun, right?
Oh.
That's right. I saved
Mr.
it.
Mr. Smarty Pants.
No, I saved
over
it.
Here.
No, I was going to say the wrong thing and I saved it because I knew you were looming over there in the co-pilots or the pilot seat or whatever seat you're in. Just
I'm co-piloting.
Just waiting for Craig to slip up so he can just jump in there and make me feel like a tool.
Yeah.
Just can't wait.
That's what I'm here for.
Just gleaming in his eye. Yeah, well, maybe next episode, because next episode is what? I think it's Asteroid Belt.
So you're telling me we're turning around, going back the other way to the Asteroid Belt?
We might stop
belt?
By Earth on the way to the Asteroid Belt and just talk about Earth as a planet.
I mean, we got to refuel. We got to go to Costco.
We don't really have to. No, yeah. we're meant to leave forever. We don't have to go back.
No, I forgot some shit.
All right, we'll go back. We'll go back. Maybe we'll do Earth next time, because we're heading back.
Okay.
You know, that kind of makes sense.
That might be a two-parter.
Yeah, it might be.
The Earth?
I don't know. Maybe if we're just approaching it like a planet, then we're not going to get personal.
Okay.
You know?
But
we're
it's
not
like,
going to get personal.
It's not like all these other ones where it's like, oh, this is made up of It's a ball.
But we know a lot more about it, I think, is why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's where we're from.
But it is. It's a big old oxygen-rich, you know, we'll save it. We'll save it. Save the thunder. That's what I say. But yeah, we'll stop by Earth. Spencer forgot some stuff.
Yeah, I forgot my toothbrush.
Well, that's why it's been so pleasant riding around the Kia Rio with
yeah.
him.
It's I got the dragon breath.
We need to get like some personal grooming items of Spencer's. So we'll stop by the Earth next time, and then we'll do the asteroid belt. Hmm. Maybe we'll even talk a little bit more about Mars, because we kind of skimped on that one, too, I feel like.
Did we?
I don't know. I always feel like we didn't make Mars creepy enough.
There's a lot of creepy shit.
There is, and I feel like we just kind of like, well, Mars is a place, you know, it's red, we and stuff happens it. There, and I don't know, whatever. This is boring, we're boring. That's what I felt like it was.
Yeah.
I don't know, I need to go back on this, and maybe it's brilliant.
I haven't heard it. I think
don't know. I feel like we're talking in the void sometimes, Spence.
I do, too.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, but like I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fuss. It's a lot of fuss.
It's not that much fuss.
No, it really is.
It's like, I don't think it's too much fuss.
I think it's like a 7 in fuss.
7 out of 10?
7 out of 10 as far as fuss goes.
Well, what dictates fuss as far as just like...
I mean, just you know, bothering and fixing on stuff and, you know, worrying on it and babysitting it and all that sort of thing that you got to do when you're got a project going.
Yeah.
I say it's like a 6 or a 7.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, that's...
There's a, you know.
You do put way more effort into
and,
it.
And phone calling and all sorts of stuff and, you know, walking around. And, you know, there's just things that you guys should always be doing. Mm. Never can do enough.
Phone call.
But you can also kind of not. And it's one of those things you can never do enough, but you also, like, kind of do nothing too sometimes. And, you know, it's hard to tell which one works better.
Yeah.
At least at this point.
Well, I think
doing stuff works better. I really feel like that's a growth. That's a growth thing.
Yeah.
Marketing's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely is. I hate it, but I know it is.
Yeah. So maybe we'll pick up some marketing manuals for you, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though you hate it, we'll pick you up some, like, self-help books on, like, positive attitude and marketing when we stop in Earth on the way back.
Yeah, that would probably...
Back out of the... Because that's our last stop at Earth. After that, it's like... We're going to handle all the craziness so that we even know less about all that shit.
Yeah.
So these episodes are going to be almost just like just us sitting here just talking harsh shit about who knows what.
That's very true. I know nothing about the planets. And then I feel like I'd never know that one of these is coming, one of the planet episodes.
Though they're always coming.
Yeah, but...
And you can kind of figure which one's going to be next, maybe.
Yeah.
That's I tell you.
That's
I also put it on our list.
Oh, you did on the Google Keep.
I should put like what episodes maybe. Yeah, okay. So we need to start using Google Keep more.
Yeah.
I feel like we lost it. Got to come back from California. I feel like we lost it. We were really rocking there for a while.
Yeah.
I feel like the organization was on the uptick. And now I feel like we got to start again. We got to go again. That's we didn't get deep enough into it.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I just went.
But it's new starts.
That's yeah.
It's new starts today.
Hell yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but planets, they're, you know, they're...
Now it's going to be easy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be asteroid belt, and then what's after the asteroid belt?
Fucking Jupiter.
Yeah, and then...
Saturn.
Yeah.
And then Uranus.
Yeah. See? And then Neptune. And then you got it. And then the whatever it is that... other belt out there. Talk about that.
Wow.
There's lots of exciting stuff going on.
It just seems so cold and lonely out there.
Yeah. It's gonna suck. It's gonna suck, but we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
No. We love science, right?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's all right.
Something.
It's something. It's out there. I'm kind of lukewarm on science.
All right. Well, before we get everybody too convinced, I think it's time we should probably kind of sign out, don't you think? Because, I really maybe just stop at Earth and stay at Earth.
Yeah.
It's like, just bring it in, bring the Kia in for a landing.
No, we got to keep going.
Okay.
We do. We must continue on.
Yeah.
Into space.
Okay. We'll try it.
Yeah.
We'll try it. We always turn back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Better than Bill's fuckers in the basement doing the regular podcast, I guess.
Yeah, those fucking losers.
At least we got it better than them.
That's all right. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, this has been Idiots in Space.
Discuss the Universe is recorded in IDTU Studios, located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.